Really, Cassandra Gandara, who was kind enough to show up at the last minute. I called her a few days before. I think I had mentioned that, but Eli the Goose Gooseman is apparently the goose is hanging too low today to come in. But good way to get on my Christmas list there, Eli. In any event, here is Cassandra Gandara, who has worked. How long have you worked at CYFD?
I've worked at CYFD for 15 years.
Oh, fantastic. And mm-hmm. You're running, you're the kind of the regional director.
I am the regional director. Yes, I oversee 9 counties in the Southwest.
So does
area.
That mean you're traveling quite a bit? You're going county to county quite a bit?
I do travel quite a bit, yes. But I currently took a leave of absence run the campaign.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. 523-1450 if you want to call in. Okay, so we were about to talk about the downtown revitalization. So what's your feeling about that since it's in District 1?
Sure, I think it's an amazing project. The business community has some very high hopes of really bringing more businesses. And I think if the plaza can do that, that would be excellent.
And, you know, how much have they invested in it so far? This millions of dollars, million dollars or whatever.
Millions of dollars. Yes, sir.
I don't know. It doesn't seem, maybe I'm too skeptical, but too cynical of a person, but it just doesn't seem like it's been revitalized.
You know, there's some amazing businesses. There's some wonderful community events that take place down in the downtown area. And I think I'm very hopeful that it'll bring a lot of business to our downtown.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Other than the roads and the revitalization project, what are some other things that have concerned you that caused you to want to get involved in the process?
I think one of the biggest concerns is the lack of communication that I think many of the citizenry feel that is lacking in our community. There is another major concern, which is the country club area. There's many people concerned about what will be brought to that area. They often refer to it as an eyesore. I'm sure you're familiar with bringing a boutique hospital to the area. I think that's a major concern.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, on the surface, I thought it was a good thing bringing a hospital specializing in orthopedic and cardiac care. I think there are many families and individuals that have to leave our area to receive those sorts of services,
sure.
Surgeries and such. But I'm very concerned about what that's going to bring in terms of traffic, in terms of how people are going to get in and out of that neighborhood. That boutique hospital is a physician-run hospital. They will not accept Medicaid and Medicare, which much concerns me.
So boutique means, in this sense, it doesn't take any Medicare, Medicaid. That is kind of interesting. When you think about the fact that about half the people in this town are either under the poverty line or just above it.
Correct.
So it's just going to be for the other 50%, I guess.
Sure.
And probably more, I wonder what percentage of the people in this town are on Medicare, Medicaid, or that kind of state-aided healthcare.
I think it's quite a large amount of folks, and particularly when we're looked at as a retirement community,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's many people that initially, or their first insurance is Medicare. So I think we really need to look at that. And I think the city needs to do a better job of communicating out very thoroughly what is going to happen in regards to that area.
Well, in general, whether I don't know what your opinion on this, but people have felt like the city has had its own agenda and felt like they were kind of above the people in terms of putting out plans. And I know that we're working on these 20-year plans and everything. Maybe that's the county. But a lot of people felt like they were disenfranchised on various decisions by the city in the past.
Well, I think that the city is trying to do a comprehensive plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward thinking and planning. And I think that's an excellent way of involving folks in that process. And so we just need to do, I believe, a better job of communicating out what's available in terms of services and programming, but also what the city's intent is, correct?
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned that Jack Eichmann was the person behind this new hospital. I don't know anything. I invited him on the show. Almost got my head bitten off when I called his house. I just went off the numbers that were on the website, of course, but I thought I was about to be taken in front of a firing squad. But in any event, Mr. Eichmann is too tired, apparently, in the morning to come on the show. But somebody had mentioned that he had worked in the a hospital industry in the past, that he was a hospital administrator, and he came to the city to bring in a new hospital. I don't know if any of that's true, but I would have been very grateful if he had come on the show to explain himself and to tell people, if that question came up, what the truth was. All right, folks, we'll take another break here, and we're going to be back and talk to Ms. Gandara. Gandara?
It's perfect.
Okay. All right. And Kelly O'Connell here, 523-1450, 523-1450. And we will be right back to continue our interview with Ms. Gandara. 638 and 523-1450. Good morning. It's 642. The Kansas City has taken the World Series. And for your NFL scores, and I do have Cassandra Gandara here, who was kind enough to come at not a whole lot of notice, but that's the beauty of local radio. Miami 7. New England 36, you know about that one. Detroit 10, Kansas City 45. Detroit in free fall. Tampa Bay 23, Atlanta 20. Atlanta was starting off good, and now they look terrible. Got your Arizona Cardinals 34, Cleveland 20. And a lot of good quarterback performances yesterday. Cincinnati 16, Pittsburgh 10. Ben Roethlisberger did not look too good. Neither did Andy Dalton, but Cincinnati still won. New York Giants 49, New Orleans 52, one of the most exciting games I've ever seen. San Francisco and St. Louis 6, San Francisco 6, St. Louis 27. Minnesota 23, Chicago 20. Another close game. Jake Cutler is playing pretty good this year, but he's losing. San Diego 26, Baltimore 29. Steve Smith blew out his Achilles. I think his career is over, but he was their number one receiver. And Phillip Rivers is just falling a little bit short. Tennessee 6, Houston 20. Houston won a game, believe it or not. New York Jets 20, Oakland 34. Oakland looks fantastic. Seattle 13, Dallas 12. Heartbreaker there for you. Green Bay 10, Denver 29. So anyway, we've got Cassandra Gandara. And Cassandra, one of the things that I've heard people talking about is building the economy. And I haven't heard you mention that yet. What's your feeling? I mean, you look around and see all these empty buildings, a little bit heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking for sure. I would really love it if we'd look at some ways creatively to bring jobs to our great city. One idea I had in mind was the idea of micro lending, because I believe small businesses, local businesses really is the heart of our city, and I'd like for us to explore a little more about that. I think it would be an amazing opportunity.
Where would the money come from?
And through some additional revenues, I believe, through the GRT tax, possibly. But it's something to consider. I think we would really generate a lot of interest.
Now, some people are saying it's red tape, and it's the tax rate, and it's also that we're on some sort of a list of bad cities to try to open a franchise in. Would you address that at all?
Yes, sir. I think the city's on the right track by hiring a business liaison, if you will. And I think that would be an excellent way to build, to ensure communication and that folks are aware of what that process needs to look like. And I believe it's all about communicating and informing people very clearly what their role and responsibility would need to be. And I think that liaison is an excellent idea.
Very nice. I have a vision. Part of the city is like a tax-free zone at the airport. Do you support me? 523-1450. Anyway, so We'll take a break here for weather and come back. And I'm going to ask Ms. Gandara about this issue that came up in the newspapers with the text, and she'll explain what happened. And 523-1450 at 646. Got some weather for you. We'll be right back. Well, I was just laughing with Ms. Gandara about the flyer that made her look green. It kind of, I don't know how they, you know, obviously Photoshop or whatever, but it's a little bit tough, isn't it, to be in the public eye and running for office, and you know that they're going to take some pot shots at you.
Yeah, I've loved the journey. I really have learned so much. I've met so many wonderful people, not only in District 1, but in the entire city. And I don't think I would have had that opportunity if I hadn't run for office.
Of course not. So where did you get the model? How did you get the model to run? You've got to put a campaign together, got to fundraise. You have to have a couple of people doing things like social media. And then you've got to have some sort of longer term strategy for the whole thing. Where'd you get your model from, or how did you learn how to run for office? It's your first time, right?
It is my first time, and it's been a lot of. Again, I have trial by fire, yeah. Right? And I have an excellent campaign manager, Angelica Rubio.
Yeah, she was very nice to me when I called.
Yeah, and so we've just been, you know, moving along and doing what we think is the best thing. And I have a lot of good friends and that have helped me along the way. And, you know, we've just tried really, really hard to raise the money.
Yeah.
To be able to run the campaign.
It's not easy.
It has been a grassroots effort.
Grassroots, that's good. Unless it's supported by the marijuana industry. And then speaking of grass, but just kidding. But all right, so you got excoriated, you got criticized for a text, and it's been in the newspaper. I thought I'd give you a chance to explain your side of it and what people you'd like people to know.
Sure. It was one text. I was driving home from Albuquerque for work. I operate two phones, a personal phone and a work phone. And frankly, I was working on sort of a crisis at work in regards to a plane ticket, and had been had to pull over and deal with that particular issue. And then, you know, proceeded to make a couple of other texts, work-related texts, and there was one text in regards to my campaign. Inappropriate, for sure. I expect to be held accountable, and I will be held accountable.
Was it a mistake? You hit the wrong button type of a thing, or was it you were distracted? You were at least distracted, right?
I was at least, yes, sir. I was distracted. I was, again, coming home from Albuquerque, a work-related and business trip. And my phones weren't working, my personal, and I wasn't receiving incoming calls from my work phone.
Doesn't that always happen between here and Albuquerque at some point?
Well, you have to have probably the best carrier, and I won't mention what that might look like. But
my carrier is Cricket. Mm. So anyway, but Cricket was bought by AT&T. So anyway, so it sounds like that you're repentant. And, you know, you're taking risk, but you're not blaming it on somebody else.
No, I'm not. And that's just not my style. I feel I'm going to be held accountable, and I expect to be. And, you know, I apologize. There was never any ill intent or maliciousness on my part to spend taxpayers' dollars. Nothing like that.
Right. Okay. Well, folks, we'll take a little break here and be right back to continue on with the interview with Ms. Cassandra Gandara. And 653 Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Kelly here. We have Miss Cassandra Gandara. And Cassandra, it has been an experience. It's been an interesting experience. Now, did you burst into tears when you saw the negative flyer show up in your mailbox?
No.
The one that made you look like the Wicked Witch, or it was like green.
It was
that,
green.
That was mean. We do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Ralph. This is a question for your guest.
Yes.
on these empty buildings that everybody keeps bringing up, does the city do any type of a background check before they issue license to so many of these fly-by-nights that rip the people off? I've been ripped off myself.
Hey, you know, Ralph, the way you ask these questions, you know what I'm saying? You act like there's this international cartel of small business ripoffs that comes into the city every season to rip people off. But anyway, Cassandra?
I don't believe that there is, but I think what we probably should do is work with our Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Chamber, our Green Chamber, our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, to assist these folks in developing a good, sound business plan so that they can stay for the duration. I think that's extremely important. And I believe that many of the chambers are looking towards doing some of that kind of programming. And I think that would be very important, especially for those folks that are trying to start a business.
Ralph?
Okay, yes. Do you have any idea why these businesses keep going under? What is it, bad management, high taxes maybe, or what is it?
You know, I'm not sure, but I would assume that part of it is their business plan. I know that I think that's a piece of it.
Ralph, I've got another call. Thank you. I know you're very interested in these fly-by-night businesses. Thank you for the call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you today?
Jim, good. You've got about 10 seconds here. We're almost done with the hour, so give it to us.
The administration in towns is pretty much anti-business. We've seen in the paper and in the news where businesses wanted to come here, and they cannot work with this administration. And that's the problem.
Thank you very much. All right. So I guess in a roundabout way, people are asking if you'll help work with the make it a better business-friendly environment.
I absolutely will. Yes.
All right, folks. So we're here with Cassandra Gundra, and she was kind enough and brave enough to come on Open Radio. Shame on you, Eli the Goose Gooseman. If you overslept, that was very rude. But anyway, the vote is tomorrow, and you got to be just. I can't imagine. I would be so excited, so nervous.
True. I'm very excited. Very excited. People need to get out and vote.
We have
to exercise our right, correct?
That's right. The franchise, one of the most important developments in the history of the world, was the right of popular representation across the board, not just the elite landowners, but all of the people, all of the adults get their chance to vote. Anyway, we're going to be taking a break on the hour and come back and talk to for a little bit longer, Cassandra Gundra. Thanks for tuning in, Kelly O'Connell. We'll be right back.
You're listening to AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connor.
I think most people
you love somebody enough, you'll follow wherever they go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. If you love somebody enough, you'll go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. I know if you...
We've got Cassandra Gondra here. It is the second day of November. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving, the last holiday that hasn't been totally raped and plundered? So your Cowboys lost, I guess, last night. Sorry about that. The Broncos had an incredible, improbable win and made Aaron Rodgers look like a high school quarterback, which I didn't think was possible. The World Series is over. The Kansas City Royals have taken it, and we have Miss Gondra here. And so great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
You're welcome. Just tell us a little bit about what your day, when you're running the regional offices of CYFD, what's a typical day for you?
We're a very busy office. I'm located at the Doñana office here in Las Cruces. And my day consists of, I always make it a point to say hello to my staff and check in. The work that they do is tremendously difficult. There's a lot of vicarious trauma. And so I always make it a point to check in, see how things are going, if there's any issues or concerns that I need to address more at a regional level. I'm looking at reports and ensuring that each one of the offices is meeting their outcomes, both federally and state. But what I like, I think it's important that our community is very aware of abuse and neglect. Here in the Doñana office, we last year received over 2,900 referrals, investigations.
Jeez, that's a lot.
When kids get hurt or there are fatalities, and we certainly have them in our communities, I feel like the whole community is mourning, and it's a community issue, and we can't do that work by ourselves. So our office is one agency in conjunction with several agencies that consist of the child welfare system. And we operate under the Children's Code. And you're an attorney, Kelly. So, if you look in the Children's Code, and it's in the section 32-A in the 30s, if you will, and that basically gives us the authority to investigate children and families.
Now, everybody in town has heard horror stories about child abuse, and maybe there was a case where they felt like the authorities came in too fast and snatched up the kids, or that something was overlooked or let go. But it is a very, very, very difficult area, because within this area, you've got also divorces, you've got domestic violence, and you've got child custody fights, in a lot of times with people that were never married, or they're married to somebody else or living somebody else. And it's just an extremely confusing area to practice in, because you never know who's telling the truth or to what extent they're telling the truth.
Sure. I agree. It can be very difficult, but I have some well-trained workers that work tirelessly to protect children. And again, we work and do well by collaborating with other agencies and law enforcement, because, in the state of New Mexico, children come into care one of two ways. Law enforcement gives us custody, and we work with law enforcement. We have an assessment that we utilize as we're investigating, or through the judge, through an ex parte order.
Yeah, and all these records are sealed. They're even hard to find as an attorney if you are looking. But all right. So do you feel like being at CYFD has given you leadership skills? And if so, what type?
Absolutely. I think working in the arena of child welfare not only has given me insight as to working with our vulnerable population, I think it has given me quite a bit of experience working with different kinds of people with different types of agencies. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye with things, but it's about reaching out, collaborating, being, you know, anytime there's issues, I always look at whether it's adaptive in nature and or technical, if you will. And the department has really moved into participating in what we call adaptive leadership. Uh-huh. And been trained and have our staff trained in that. And most times when we have issues, it's relational. And so I always work with my staff to make sure that you're having those courageous conversations. We don't see eye to eye, but why don't we see eye to eye? And ensuring that we're having those courageous conversations and reaching out and building you know, good relationships with folks. And again, we talked about accountability, and that's something I hold myself and my staff to a very high standard. I expect my staff to treat people with respect, kindness, and those are things that I hope that when people encounter us, that it's not about removing children. Our philosophy is if children can remain in their home safely, then we're going to do that with some services in place.
Sounds like a good motto. Okay. Now, people are going to want to know, if you get elected, are you going to be an independent voice? Because, you know, there is a lot of pressure on the city council to move in certain directions. And there, as you had mentioned before, there's CAFE who's involved. And we'll take that question in just a second. But we've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Sergio, good morning.
Good morning, Sergio. What's up with you today?
I was listening to your conversation, and I wanted to ask a question. You mentioned all this about the children and CYFD.
Yeah.
And if she's elected, how is she going to address the issues that are very much unspoken or neglected in this community, and that's alcohol and drug abuse, that the poor children are caught in the crossfire? And I'm real quick, Kelly, I have reliable sources who've worked with alcohol, counseling, drug counseling.
Yep.
It's a very big, big problem here.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. Matter of fact, it might be our biggest problem.
Well, you know, real quick, and I think that has to do with the problem with the lack of jobs and, the quality of life here,
yeah.
You know?
So, Sergio,
how are they going to be addressing that?
Well, I would say this. If you're not working, the chances of you getting into trouble, I think, increase because you've got, you know, what do they say, time on your hands is the devil, you know.
Idle. Yeah, you're idle.
Devil's workshop. So I have no doubt that there's a connection between the two, but I agree with you. I think that alcohol and drug abuse in this county seems to be worse than in some other places that I've lived. So,
right.
Okay, so we'll ask Ms. Gondra that. Anything else?
You know, like I said, you're a lawyer. I'm sure you've come across a lot of these cases of this kind of a problem.
Many.
But thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sergio. Have a good day. All right, I'll just say this. I've been involved in domestic violence court. It's got its own court, but the restraining order court is really what it is. Typically, when you've got an event between a couple of people, or I would say it's not unusual that alcohol is involved because, you know, it's like pouring fuel on the flames. But Ms. Gondra, what would you do from the city council to address this issue? And I know first of all, let me ask you, how big of a deal is it in terms of CYFD's observation and experience?
It's a big deal. I would venture to say that probably 80% of our cases has some sort of substance abuse related issue. What is of major concern is that there's not always the service array that is needed to help these individuals. And that's one of the things I think our Southwest quadrant of the state has been hit hard in terms of our dismantling of our mental health services. We're just starting to now, with La Clinica taking over a lot of those mental health services, you know, starting to kind of see some relief. But I think that in terms of how I would address it is simply continuing to be a voice and informing city council about what those issues are, what the data is to support the kinds of issues, making it a point to have those conversations. I think it's important that we work. Again, I keep mentioning our Chamber of Commerce. I think that's something that's really important, that we reach out and that we certainly work with our Chamber of Commerce to bring in more CLRs, more psychiatrists, more psychologists. I know that there is some discussion about bringing in a mental health hospital. You know, there is only one, which is Las Vegas, and that makes it really difficult for folks to have to leave the community, go to Las Vegas, receive treatment, and then discharge
It's a cycle.
So I certainly would continue to remind City Council about those issues and be a voice for our children and families and people who have substance abuse issues.
In a population of 2 million, we need 1,500 psychiatric beds, and we have 150 or less. I actually think that we've lost some beds, and it's become a tentacle of the pharmaceutical industry. We're not solving people's problems. We're putting them on the chemical cure, and it creates a situation where they have a crisis, they get diagnosed, they're given drugs, and then they're discharged, and then at some point they either stop taking the medication or they become convinced they don't need it. But we're not curing these people, but the pharmaceutical industry is making billions or trillions of dollars off of these crises. We need a deeper solution. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to come back, and can you stay for one more segment, or you got to run?
I'm going to have to run.
All right, so I got to ask you, are you going to be an independent voice on the city council? People want to know that.
I think what I've always subscribed to is working collaboratively, reaching out to folks, both our business community, private and public agencies, to work towards a better Las Cruces. So I certainly am going to make my own decisions. They'll be data informed, and I want to do the best that I can for the city.
We've got one more call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi, it's Lydia, Kelly. Please ask Cassandra, does she believe that the babies in the womb are part of the most vulnerable? My understanding is that she doesn't care about protecting babies in the womb, just that life. So I just wanted to know where she stands on that.
She's listening. Go ahead, Cassandra.
I do care about babies in the womb. I think that's a really important aspect of particularly when we talk about children in the womb and trauma that Kelly mentioned, domestic violence, and when women are pregnant and they are being attacked.
But do you think that's a life to protect in terms of not aborting them? And protection for the mother as well.
I believe that that's a mother's choice, and something that we need to protect. I don't think that government should tell women what they should do with their body.
So abortion is okay.
I think that's a woman's choice, ma'am.
Okay, well, I disagree, and I hope your listeners, Kelly, are hearing this clearly.
Well, I'm hearing you clearly. I'm assuming it's going out over the radio waves. Anything else, Lydia?
No, thank you. I just want the truth exposed. Thank you. And I do appreciate her care for, the children in the community. It's very clear to me that life begins in the womb, and those are a part of the most vulnerable of our population. And they're poor mothers who need the help and other options, to help them carry the baby. Sorry if I'm emotional.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good day. Cassandra said you agree that the mothers with the pregnant mothers need help too.
Sure, absolutely. I've spent all my adult life working on maternal and child health issues. When a mother decides that she's going to keep the child, then we need to assist her in making you know, that a safe and you know, transition from having the baby, right?
Sure, absolutely. I think the free market has a role here. We have millions of people every year who want to adopt babies, and we have a million babies that are aborted. I think that we ought to get these two forces together, and it's silly to waste all of the from an economic standpoint, all of these workers that could come into the economy. But anyway, Cassandra, thank you for coming in. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Kelly.
And, well, it's probably too late to get you back on the show, but maybe whatever the future holds, we can get you back here and, you know, do another show.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Oh, absolutely. Thank you for coming in. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. And, well, it's one day. So get yourself over to that voting booth and do your duty. 721 1450 KOBE AM Las Cruces. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. We'll be right back.
Something that is very natural to our voices and our rhythm.
If you love somebody enough, you go wherever they go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
Hey, it's Kelly here, 726. And, yeah, you know, I would think that if you met Cassandra, that you couldn't help but like her. She's a very charming person, a very good-natured person. But we got this whole race going on here. Now, shame on you, Eli. Eli, the Goose Gooseman. You didn't come in here. Once again, no call, no show. That doesn't impress me. And if you get elected, are you going to skip all the meetings that you don't want to go to? People have a right, in my opinion, this is the only live venue in town. People have a right to hear their candidates in a live setting. And I would also say to Jack Eakman, who has got the world's most ferocious call screener, you should come on this show, too. It's a little bit late, but to the mayor, Mayor Ken, you should have come on this show. If the heat is too hot for you, you know, come in your asbestos jumpsuit. But I mean, the people have a right to talk to their representatives. I mean, we say in the Declaration of Independence that the only legitimate form of government is representative. And Thomas Jefferson adds in there, as soon as it becomes non-representative, that we've got a right to protest it, and even have one of the most controversial statements in the history of any government, state government documents, that we have the right to have a revolution if our government is not representing us. And so John Locke, this great philosopher, probably the most famous philosopher of the last 300 years in terms of influence, he was the one who was so kind of caught up in this representative idea that government is only legitimate when it's representative. And I ask you, over the past, has the city council been representing the people's will? And as Ms. Gandhara points out, are they making decisions and just totally ignoring the will of the people? Now, I find it interesting that I believe that Mr. Eakman, who's supposedly a hospital administrator and has been flown in from out, he parachuted in. We've got these parachute leaders, you know, these people that come in and they're so brilliant, they're going to run our community, except they don't know anything about the community, such as Wayne Hancock, who is parachuted in and immediately put his name in to run for county commission and has been in there. And recently informed us that the population here has doubled since 2007 in a public meeting, except it hadn't. And when people tried to point it out, Billy Golden Earring Garrett said, this is not a poll, it's a statement. Well, I mean, it's a wrong statement. Are you going to correct it? You know? So you've got people coming in. Now, at least Gondra, whether you agree with her politics on abortion or anything else, is local. And at least she showed up, Eli. And the other person dropped out, but he had come in for a couple of times. And so I think this is the only venue in town. Therefore, when people come on the show, I'm going to try to not, you know, attack them. I'm going to try to let them tell their story. And like Lydia did, if you want to ask a hard question, call up. You're more than welcome to. But I'm going to try to have an environment here where anybody realizes that if they come on, yes, even the mayor, if anybody comes on, that they get a warm welcome and they are in a situation where they are feel like they can be themselves and speak their mind. And then if you want to rake them over the coals or ask them hard questions or put them on the spot, whatever, that's what the listening audience is for. 523-1450. Folks, let's take a little break and come back and talk some more about some of these races, and I'll throw in any other news that seems appropriate.
If you love somebody enough, you go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
It's Kelly.
Kelly, Tony, good morning.
It's Tony?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, Tony, what's up?
Hey, I know you're plugged into just about everything and the news is on. I assume you've heard the stuff about this police report about Miyagishima beating his wife?
I haven't seen anything, but you're more than welcome to stay on the line and mention it.
If you like, okay.
That's fine, okay, I'll put you on hold.
We'll
do. Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
It's 7:34. And we do have a call, and it is from Tony. Thanks for the call, Tony. And anyway, I could not quite hear you because there was news on in the background, but you had a call about the mayor?
I did, Kelly, and I heard something very disturbing this weekend, and I wanted to make people aware of it. There have been stories about our mayor, Miyagishima, and some of his own personal concerns, I guess, in the past. And I know that there have been stories circulating about wife abuse, which is, my gosh. But then again, they're just stories. And these kind of things pop up in politics. And I think people have to be very careful about, you know, these kind of stories circulating around. But apparently, a police report surfaced late last week showing that apparently this is, in fact, the reality. From several years ago.
What is a reality?
I'm also aware that this information was brought up to the local newspaper, who refused to report it, stating it was, quote, old news.
All right, so
troubling.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I'm going to have to be a defense attorney here for Mayor Ken. What is the information?
Apparently, a police report circulated about an incident of spousal abuse with his pregnant wife. And it's not just a rumor when you've got a police report in hand.
All right, but what year is it? First of all, what year is it from?
I don't have it in front of me. I believe it was in the 90s.
All right, so as a defense attorney, if Ken calls me up to defend him on this or to talk about it, is there a prosecution involved?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, and who filed the police report?
The wife.
And was it filed at the police department, or was it filed at her house?
Again, not know the details. I can't confirm or deny one way or the other on that.
Now, I don't know anything. Trust me, I wasn't living here then. So I've had a couple of people mention this to me, that somebody called in on the show and this was in the newspapers. But I'm going to have to say, as his defense attorney, I mean, anybody can file a police report, right?
Absolutely. But when police respond to, let's say, a household, as I do believe that's what it was, I don't know. You take it for, you take it at face value. As I said, this is not just some rumor now. There's a filed report.
Okay. All right.
And you can, I suppose you can dispute the report. I hardly think the police are going to file a report if they go to an address and there's, they see that there's no basis for what's being, you know, complained of.
All right. So then
anyway, it's not a conviction. You're right.
Well, it's not even a prosecution from what I'm hearing. I mean, everybody knows I'm not the biggest fan of the mayor. I think he's done a rotten job. But as if I'm hired to be his attorney on this, I feel like we're in a good position because the police haven't filed anything yet. And I'm going to dispute every line of that report and just claim that there was a disagreement, you know, but people are allowed to draw their own conclusions. But I mean, as an attorney, I'm always going to want to talk to the police. I'm always going to put them on the spot. And I'm always going to say there's mistakes in this report. You hear where I'm coming from.
Absolutely.
All right, Tony, anything else?
I'm good enough. That's it, Kelly. Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. So, I mean, I'll repeat this. I am, everybody knows, but Mayor Ken and I are not tight, but if there's a police report filed, you can go down to the, it doesn't sound like this was that situation, but you can go down to the police department and file a report. Number one. Number two, if the police go out to his house and interview her, they're just taking it off of what she says. So I don't know. To me, this is inconclusive, and I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but as an attorney and somebody comes into my office and tells me about this, I'm going to feel like, hey, we're in a good situation because the police haven't filed on this. Now, sometimes things happen and there's a reconciliation and the person says to the police, I don't want this prosecuted or I'm not going to cooperate. But I, you know, here's the situation. 1990s may not have all the records out there. I want to see the evidence. So anyway, I'll just leave it out there. And, but I will tell you as an attorney, I'm not persuaded. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. And do I think it's a serious issue? Yeah. But I mean, it's a little bit old. Anyway, I'm not going to, crucify him for this, but, I would say that you've got a right to think about it when you go to the booth. I mean, you know, 7:39 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450.
I know if you've seen her, you tell me, because you are my friend, right? Yeah. I've got to find her and find out the trouble she's in.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, I'm going to make it quick. Eli Guzman did not report to your show this morning.
The goose hangs low.
Yeah, he's hanging really low. You ran the ad before he came back on the air. It is the most ridiculous ad anybody could put together. He says we deserve lower taxes and better paying jobs and nicer neighborhoods. How in the hell is he going to come about implementing this?
Well, maybe he'll do a hunger strike.
Or maybe he's going to go on a rampage and take everybody down sumo style. I don't know, but it's the most ridiculous ad that's ever been played. If you listen
Greg,
to it.
Greg, stay on the air. Stay on the air with me.
Okay.
So how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great, man. I loved it. I had the grandkids over and watched the Cowboys lose again. My Los Angeles Kings are on our tear. They're on an 8-7-game winning streak. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a weird game with the Seahawks and Dallas. I thought Dallas's defense played a hell of a job.
They did, but they have no offense.
What do you think of Casal?
He's a fill-in, but they're going to have to find somebody else because he couldn't do it at the end. Hey, did you see code enforcement over there at that house with all the Muslims?
No.
Yeah, they were there yesterday. The guy was walking around the front, and he was pointing to all the weeds. And there's about, I saw about five, six guys out there.
Somebody called him on him.
Yeah, somebody called him on him. They were all in their religious garb, by the way.
Did they get out the Quran and point out where weeds are acceptable?
No, I think what they were pointing out to the guy is that they're being singled out because of their religion.
Oh, they did?
No, I'm just playing with the
Kelly. I was going to say I should go over there and see if they need some representation.
Oh, you dog. I'll never listen to your
hey,
radio again.
You know,
you
and Russ and I ought to get together for some poker.
Yeah, well, listen, man. Russ is ready to go. He's a nurse practitioner, man, full-fledged.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hold on a second.
He's putting me on right now.
Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. And we've got Greg here. And, Greg, you had a comment about Eli the Goose Gooseman?
Briefly, I just noticed that on his ads, he states that we deserve lower taxes and we deserve better paying jobs and we deserve better neighborhoods. And I was just wondering how in heaven's name if he's going to implement this if he's by chance elected.
Well,
I just found the ad to be really really strange.
Weird. Possibly, maybe he won't show up to city council until these changes come through.
Well, you made this point, and it shows a very bad, a character. If you're not going to come on and discuss the issues live, you should be available if you're running for any type of office here in this city to be able to stand and state your views on all the issues.
Well, I don't really take it personally. It's just a show, but I'm not impressed that it's twice I've asked him on the show. It's twice that he's told me yes, and it's twice that he's not only not showed up, but doesn't even have the courtesy to text and say I can't make it. I mean, I don't get that.
Well, hopefully that'll ring out to the voters as they make their way over to the polls, and we don't need somebody like that in office. But Kelly, it's an entertaining show.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I appreciate the call, Greg, very much.
Got it. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. We have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. It's Emily.
Hey, Emily. What's up?
I didn't have a chance to respond, but I was listening to your guest, Cassandra.
Yes.
And when she was answering the questions, it just appeared she was very vague. She used words like probably, I think. That doesn't sound very confident. Just a comment.
Thanks for the call. I found Cassandra to be very charming and smart. And, she showed up. You know, I mean, being there. What is Woody Allen's famous quip? Showing up is 90% of success. So I don't really get, I'm not a hard interviewer. I don't give people a rash of, feces when they're on the show. I just try to, I honestly try to make people look good unless they make it impossible to make somebody look good. And I just kind of thinking back when Mayor Ken came on last time, I did try to throw myself on the live grenade that was out there that although the mayor was in favor of raising taxes in the city, he's opposed in the county, which to me, at least he's fighting against taxes somewhere for us, but people tore him to shreds. But I understand as a strategy not wanting to come onto live radio because anybody can call and say anything. Well, we just heard about a police report on the mayor for, spousal abuse or whatever. I mean, you know, what's he going to do if he's sitting there and the person calls in? Is he going to explain it? I mean, it's a calculated risk. It's like being tightrope without a net. And just to follow up on that last thing, a police report doesn't convince me of anything. Anybody can send in a police report. On the alternative, though, for those people that are taking exception to my statements and analysis, it could all be true, but how do you know? Until you have a prosecution, until the person goes through the system, you don't know what happened. Because in our system of oppositional courtroom stuff, antagonistic one attorney against another, one person against another, in which the truth, the evidence and the truth rises up to the surface, hopefully, that's when you can analyze everything. But a police report to me, I don't know. You know, I'm not persuaded. Let's take a break here and come in and finish up talking about any news that cannot be avoided or the rest of local stuff. I've got the mayoral candidates coming on tomorrow, and then I've got Walt Rubel coming in the afternoon or the later portion, so we can do some analysis on the races and stuff. But I was impressed by Ms. Gandara. That doesn't mean that I agree with all of her positions, but I was impressed. You know, she's a very charming person. There's just no denying it. Kelly O'Connell, 747 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450. Kelly, of course, 751. All right, I'm looking at the steady record of achievement posted by the mayor. Ken Miyagashima's leadership has made a big difference for the people of Las Cruces. Here's some of the things he's achieved as a mayor. It's on the website, Mayor Ken. Oops, and we got a phone call here. I'll get to that in just a second. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Jim again.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
How are you today?
Unbelievable, but we're running out of time, my friend. What's going on?
Well, you know, Kelly, I didn't want to get into this the last call I made about an hour ago, but I'm looking at the opinion page from the Las Cruces Sun News where they endorsed Miyagashima for mayor. I read it over several times, and they actually agreed with Silva as much, if not more, than Miyagashima, but they said in their view is that neither Miguel or Ortega has given a clear path for our city, and they even admitted it needs to be done, but they also said that they don't think that making a change in the mayor would make that kind of growth. What kind of silly talk is that? How can you agree with somebody as much and not more than the mayor and agree that it needs to be done, but change you won't make it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't think that this is an independent paper, so draw your own conclusion.
Well, that's true. And in the same opinion page, I have a commentary here by Peter Goodman, attacking the PAC coming in here, the Go West PAC. But I sure don't see anything for him or the previous person, Reuben Smith, attacking the progressives when they came here to ruin our city.
Well, I mean, you know, I was just thinking about this. I listened to about an hour-long speech by a guy who talked about the history of liberty, and I was thinking yesterday on YouTube, I was thinking about how different liberty is from the progressive movement and how the progressive movement always tries to take people's liberty away in various ways. It's just, to me, it's crazy. It's, I mean, liberty's the sexiest idea in history, and we've got this progressive movement that's every day out there with a little cheese grater trying to slice off, you know, trying to rub some more of it off. It just bothers me.
Yeah, that was basically my call. I just don't understand the thinking of an opponent.
I agree.
That would come out.
I agree. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. I agree with Jim. If the paper adds up more positives for Miguel, give him the nod. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't do any research, and so they see something in the paper. Well, there's got to be a reason to support Mayor Ken. I'm not going to agree with a police report that comes out. Only because I need to see some evidence. I need to talk to the wife. I need to talk to the cop and look at their police report and other evidence. But I think on a professional level, on a running the city, and on a personal level, this guy's just completely objectionable. I don't remember meeting anybody who was more self-important than this guy. He's done a terrible job of leadership. He's totally self-satisfied. And I think he's a terrible leader. Anyway, excellent. Here's his list of achievements. But I mean, I find it personally galling that he's so condescending when he seems like a guy who, if you went to his house, would have, you know, a library of comic books. You know, I mean, he's just I don't get this idea. I'm important because I was elected. That doesn't make you important. I mean, it gives you authority. It gives you power. But it doesn't make you a good person or, you know, and I mean, whether you have a political office or you have a radio show or whatever it is, you're shining shoes, you have a claim to be somebody out of the ordinary by serving other people. That's just bottom line. And I mean, I just get around this guy and it just, you know, I feel like screaming. It's just, you know, it's like he wears a shirt, me or I, you know. His claim to fame is being elected mayor, not that he's done anything. He's, you know, he's gotten in the way of developing the city. But anyway, excellent financial management for the city. From what I understand, if you take away the gross receipts tax and you take away Robert Garza, what is he bragging about? Full audits instituted for major city construction projects. Goes without saying. Strong support for reinvestment in existing Las Cruces businesses is key element of economic development strategy. What? Strong support for reinvest. How is the city, how is Ken Miyagashima reinvesting in existing Las Cruces businesses? They're fighting for their lives. Where's this supposed reinvestment coming from? That's his third number, you know, third thing. Raising the minimum wage for Las Cruces workers. Let me give you an insight on that. The higher the minimum wage, the less workers you have. Right? That's just common sense. He's putting people out of business. You know, he's putting people out of work. Putting businesses out of business. Approval of Amador Proximo redevelopment zone west of downtown. Huh? What? Isn't that the area where that unfinished building is with all the steel girders coming out of it and people keep saying, why is this thing here? That's what he's redeveloping? City rated at highest level of fire protection. That's, give me a break. That's your fifth greatest achievement? And you did that? City. All right, here's another one. Strong emphasis on community policing accountability for Las Cruces Police. He doesn't have anything to do with that. Implement lapel cameras for Las Cruces police officers. So what? Every police. I mean, where is his achievements on here? Citywide sustainability program, saving us hundreds of thousands of dollars in coming years. Sustainability, liberal catchphrase. It doesn't mean anything. Launch of the most comprehensive street maintenance and repair initiative in the city's history. I just, you know, you're reading down this stuff. Where's the achievements? He's got in here Oregon Mountain. He's got in here somewhere, Oregon Mountain. It just, he doesn't have any connection to the Oregon Mountains. It's not his area of control. All right. Establishment of Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks National Monument. He is taking credit for that. All right. Go to the ballot box and thank him for that. Vote him out. It wasn't his land. He ignored city business while going to Washington to try to tell him something that was transparently false. Everybody was not backing him up on this Oregon Mountain thing. It's just absolutely nonsensical. I mean, fees to pay for parks required by new development. He's just bragging about taxes. Development of Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority 911. People are mentioning all the time how this thing has never even opened. I mean, I just think we need some new blood in there. That's what I believe. Anyway, thanks for the listening in. Tomorrow's the election. I'm going to have Gil and Gina on, and we'll take it from there. And then Walt Rubel. 759 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We'll catch up in 22 hours. Ciao.